Hit this record button. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you all across the world. Welcome to tonight's Integrity Leadership Call. Glad to have everyone on. Tonight, we are still in Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani, and we are covering certain things, going back to chapter 8 for some things. Still talking about chapter 9 a little bit, but first, Mr. Field has something he would love to share with us.
Yes, you may have noticed that I wasn't there for a couple of meetings today. I usually don't miss anything, but I'm at a three-day conference that's talking about what this technology is doing and where everything's moving and what we need to be looking forward to. And one thing I can say unequivocally that Antonio is positioning us right where we need to be. We are so blessed to have his vision and has his ability to peek out over the horizon and see what's coming up and positioning us. Some of the things they told us about: Netflix now has 205 million subscribers. 205 million subscribers. They download 1 billion hours a week. 1 billion hours a week. So that's just what they're doing. And they also talked about 30% of all searches now will be done with no screen. They're all voice activated. So what Antonio is teaching us and how he's positioning us in the marketplace is right on. So we can all be very happy that we've got somebody there. They had the author of this book, Control Alt Delete. Reboot your business, reboot your life. Your future depends upon it. And I had already read it and I've already got it, but he spoke too. So it's just, I'm just re-energized about what we're doing and how we're doing it and where we're headed for this organization. And we're very blessed to be here together for all of us.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Field. Thank you so much. Mr. Field's learned a lot from this three-day conference. We are appreciative and grateful for that he comes back and shares with us what he has been learning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going back a little bit. Mr. Field, did you want to go back to chapter 8 now?
Yes. I don't remember covering what they covered in chapter 8. And so when I read it and saw what it was, it's a very unique process on goal setting. And I've been doing goal setting since I was 20 years old. And as you know, on August 1st, I'll end my 70th trip around the sun. So that's 50 years I've been doing some sort of goal setting, looking at goal setting, studying goal setting, seeing what's out there. And when I read chapter 8, it's a complete unique approach about it, and it repositions your mind the way goal setting should be. So I wanted to go over it with this class, because we had already done chapter 9 last week. But when I saw chapter 8, and I don't remember doing chapter 8 or going talking about the goals, so I figured this was such valuable material. If you've already heard it, it's not going to hurt you to hear it again. And if this is the first time, get out your pen and pencils, because we're in for a really unique ride coming up in the next hour.
All right. Okay. So in chapter 8, Mr. Peel, where did you want to start?
Well, chapter 8, create a vision for your future, where we learn how to make sure that our goals we're chasing will really lead to long-term happiness. And Grace, the next chapter should be goal setting is observed practice. You have that?
Okay, hold on, I'm letting someone in. Goal setting is an observed practice. Hold on. Oh, okay, I got it. Goal setting is an observed practice that I gave up long ago. It simply is too dangerous when done without the right training. Modern goal setting, as it's explained in countless college courses or to high school kids, is really not about teaching you how to pursue what will really help you lead an extraordinary life. Rather, it's about teaching you to pursue common rules of the culture scape, rules that often lead to your chasing things that you'll ultimately find do not really matter. He's right, you know. I was a teacher for 11 years. It's about safety rather than about truly living. That last sentence right there. It's about safety rather than about truly living. And hey, you got a former school teacher telling you that he is absolutely correct. Okay. What they teach in school, it's about keeping you safe and about following their system. Did you want me to keep reading, Mr. Fields? You want to talk about that?
The biggest of these rules is the idea that you need to map out your life to move you toward some ridiculous idea called a career. As a result, when most people think about setting goals and their vision for the future, their dominant model focus on career and money, excuse my French, bullshit. Zen philosopher Alan Watts famously said, forget the money, because if you say that getting the money is the most important thing, then you'll spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living. That is, to go on doing, and I've been cut off this, doing this, you don't like doing. My when I made copies of the last four letters.
Yeah, that is to go on doing things you don't like doing, which is stupid.
But yeah, which is stupid. Better have a short life that's full of
what you like doing.
What you like doing, than spend the rest of your life in a miserable way.
My goodness.
Flip the page.
Okay.
Now go to choose end goals, skip mean goals.
Gotcha. You've probably heard the expression, it was a means to an end. It applies to goals too. Often people confuse means goals with end goals. We choose college majors, career paths, life paths as if they were ends in themselves, when in reality, they're a means to an end. We may invest years of toil and money for means goals, masquerading as end goals. This can get us into trouble. The difference between a means goal and an end goal is one of the lessons that I wish more people could learn earlier in life. End goals are the beautiful, exciting rewards of being human on planet Earth. End goals are about experiencing love, traveling around the world, being truly happy, contributing to the planet because doing so gives you meaning, and learning a new skill for the pure joy of it. End goals speak to your soul. They bring you joy in and of themselves, not because they confer any outward label, standard, or value attached by society. Nor are end goals undertaken for the purpose of pay or for material reward. They are the experiences that create the best memories in our lives. Okay.
Any feedback from the class?
Please, because we said a lot.
Yeah. Are you picking up what he's saying?
Means goals versus end goals. You know, Mr. Field and I will sit here in awkward silence because we're facilitators. We're not lecturers.
I just wanted to say that, one, I'm glad to be here because I can't get my times together sometimes, and I'm in the middle of doing stuff. But I'm so glad I'm here. And it's so true that when you set these goals, it's redundant to me because it don't line up for me. Even though I'm setting goals, I feel like there's more to be done. That's just me. I have a lot of things that I want to get done. So when I do meet the goals, like for my program, I met all my goals, and for my jewelry making, I met all my goals. And then it was like, okay, what do I do? So it's like, okay, I know I'm supposed to go to the next level. But
is that all there is? Is that all there is, my friend? Let's keep dancing. Let's bring out the booze.
Right. So yeah. I know that there's more other than just the goal setting, because I want more for my children. I want more for myself even. I want more for my grandchildren. And like Antonio was bringing out, a wise man has an inheritance for their children. I got a lot of them.
So yeah.
I need to make enough for me and them. So this what's being said, it helps me to know that my thinking is not off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's what you're working for. Grace, down to other common goals and might include hitting certain income levels. You see where that is?
Income levels. Hold on. Now, are we still in the same section?
Same, yeah.
Down the income. No, I'm sorry, hold on.
That's okay.
Okay. Tell me again, Mr. Phil, where you...
Other common goals include hitting certain income levels.
I see it. Thank you. Other common means goals, including hitting certain income levels, getting good reviews, and promotions to a certain level at work, and being with one particular someone. But when means goals become your focus, you miss the point. I love this advice from author Joe Vitale. A good goal should scare you a little and excite you a lot. Scary and exciting are two beautiful feelings that good end goals often bring out. Scary is a good thing because it means you're pushing your boundaries. That's how you take steps toward the extraordinary. Excitement signifies that your goal is genuinely close to your heart, not something you're doing to please someone else or to conform to society's rules. Okay.
Yeah, you can just keep on going. The important distinction.
Okay, good. Okay, this is, means goals versus end goal. It's a simple distinction, really, with four hallmarks to watch for. So this is how you identify means goals. Number one, means goals usually have a so in them. Okay, that does make sense. Means goals don't stand alone, but are stepping stones to something else. They're part of a sequence. For example, get a good GPA, grade point average, so you can get into a good college. This often means that goals get strung together into lifelong sequences like this one. Get a good GPA so you can get into a good college, so you can get a good job, so you can make lots of money, so you can afford a nice house, car, etc. So you'll have money saved to do all the stuff you really want to do after you retire. Does your goal have a so attached? Okay, y'all in your business. Raise your hand if your goal has a so.
We've all been talking. Right. I mean, that's why when I read this, I was so amazed at how it just flips the whole concept around. That's why I'm so excited about presenting it to us.
Oh, right.
Wow. And I'd be reading too, but part of my printer is cut off the words at the end, so I can't finish it. So then Grace is a much better reader than I am anyway. So any other comments based on that?
Yes, I can definitely say the first thing I thought of when you said exciting and scary at the same time is when I had my first child. And also when I got, most opportunities that's exciting and feels like kind of invigorating. You can't wait, can't sleep at night excited, kind of like the day before Christmas, the night before Christmas kind of thing, so excited. I hope I did this, not the scared part, but the excitement when you're doing something that you're really looking forward to. It definitely and the scary part of I don't know what to expect. It's kind of beyond having my first child. It's every time you do something crazy, let's go skydiving or something, scared and excited at the same time, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, it reminds me of the George Bernard Shaw quote, reasonable people adapt themselves to their environment.
Right.
Unreasonable people adapt the environment to themselves. Therefore, all progress is due to unreasonable people. Or as the Eagle said, take it to the limit one more time. Okay, Grace, two, mean goals are often about meeting or conforming rules.
Yes, sir. Okay. Y'all heard him. Mean goals are often about meeting or conforming to rules. Everyone, if this is your first time on, rules, the author Vishen Lakhiani has coined. It has a B in front of the rules, and the B stands for bullshit. So rules is bullshit rules. Now, is your goal one you think you should meet as part of achieving your ultimate goal? For example, thinking that you should get a college degree in order to have a fulfilling job, or that you should get married in order to have love in your life. Many means goals are cleverly concealed rules. Whew, I'm gonna highlight that one. You do not have to get married or get a college degree, or be an entrepreneur, or join the family business. What you really want is to be in beautiful, loving relationships, to have consistent opportunities to learn and grow, and to have freedom. These can come in many different forms. See the difference? Okay, so yeah. Now, means goals have a so attached to them, and they're connected to things that you think you should do, okay? Because that whole getting a college degree. Yeah, don't act like your parents didn't say go to school so you can get a good job and all that old all that soul stuff. Yeah, that means goals. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm not the only one.
Go well, ahead, and we've been programmed for that. I mean, our youngest daughter, in reality, she got her degree and she did really well, but she says, Dad, it wasn't worth the money.
No.
Yeah, it just wasn't worth the money. So we were programmed. You know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So if you're going to take the next stop, you got to go to college no matter what. That's whether you're in or not. And I have counseled people over the years. Community colleges are great. You know, we need good plumbers. We need good HVAC people. We need good mechanics. We need people that have that kind of adaptivity. But before, we haven't been uplifting those people. We kind of say, oh, okay, well, you can't go to college, so why don't you go do something else? I almost think of it in a negative way. And it's not feeding people's soul and feeding their strengths. So go to end goals are about following your heart. Grace.
All right. So we've identified means goals. We're going to the end goals. End goals are about following your heart. Time flies when you're pursuing them. You may work hard toward these goals, but you feel it's worth it. They remind you of how fantastic it is to be human. When you're working on an end goal, it doesn't feel like work. You could be doing it for hours on end, but it genuinely makes you happy or gives you meaning. You don't need to step away to get recharged. Working on the end goal itself recharges you. It doesn't drain you. For example, for me, writing this book is an end goal. It's so much fun that I do it even if I never got paid. So that's about following your heart. Okay. You want me to read the second one? Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Well, see, anything from the group.
Okay. So there is a difference between means goals and end goals. You, whatever you love doing that you don't get tired of and it doesn't feel like work, that's an end goal.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Because Ashley, she never sleeps. Go ahead, Mrs. Andrew.
that's making jewelry for me and talking. I noticed that when I talk to people, it makes a difference not only in their life, it feeds me too. Because once I'm finished talking to them, the joy that they get from having an enlightening, like a mirror of seeing that I don't see you like that. I see you as somebody that can go forward. I see you as somebody that can make things happen. I see you as somebody that can prosper in a way that you haven't seen before. I don't know all of the steps to get you there, but I do know that one of the things that have to change is your mindset. So I get joy out of that. And I know that there are a lot of things that I have to change. The goal setting and the difference of knowing the difference makes a lot of difference for me. And just to hear the information helps me to know, okay, so no, Sandra, you're not crazy. No, you're not saying the wrong thing. And some of the things, yes, you are saying the wrong thing.
But you still may be crazy too. We don't discount that. That's still a possibility. Don't want to take that off the table too soon.
So I appreciate what I'm getting. I'm definitely getting something out of it.
Oh, and we're just getting started tonight. Okay, Grace too. End goals are often feelings.
All right. To be happy, to be in love, to consistently feel loving, to consistently feel joyous are all very good end goals. A diploma, an award, a big business deal, or other achievements can certainly bring good feelings, but they are not end goals unless you're happy as you're pursuing them. In other words, unless the act of studying for your diploma or closing the business deal itself brings you happiness. End goals have happiness baked into the pursuit. So end goals are not the end of the journey. When you get there, it's the journey getting there. That the joy of in the journey of getting there. So you, of course, you know, every journey, you're not going to like everything in your journey. But if you find joy in every part of the journey, that's the end goal. Because I'm going to tell you right now, studying for a degree, it wasn't always happy and joyous. So I know that was not an end goal for me. That was a means goal. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you, finance, statistics, not joyous. No. So anyone okay. have any thoughts on these goals, end goals?
All right, three most important questions. This is where we're really going to start having some fun.
All right, y'all are quiet tonight. All right, three most important questions. How do we avoid the means goal trap? I developed this improved goal setting technique to get you there. I call it the three most important questions. When these questions are asked in the correct order, this exercise can help you jump straight to the end goals that really matter in your life. I found that all end goals fall into three different buckets. The first is experiences. No matter what you believe about humanity's origins, one thing is clear. We're here to experience all the world has to offer, not objects, not money, but experiences. Money and objects only generate experiences. Experiences also give us happiness in the now, a key component of the extraordinary life. We need to feel that daily life holds wonder and excitement to sustain our happiness, which fuels our movement toward our goals. That's the first one, experience. The second bucket is growth. Growth deepens our wisdom and awareness. It may be growth we choose or growth that chooses us. Growth makes life an endless journey of discovery. The third one is contribution. It is what we give back from the wealth of our experiences and growth. What we give is the special mark we can make on the world. Giving moves us toward awakening, the highest level of happiness, by providing meaning in our lives, and it is a key component of the extraordinary life. Think about these three essentials framed as questions. Okay, so here are the three most important questions. Now, before I got to the questions, Mr. Field, did you want to say something?
Well, we need to constantly remind ourselves that we're in the experience business. When I look at everybody I see here on my screen, you're here, sure, because we're here to help you and we're here to give you knowledge and we're here to help you get to where you want to go by helping you understand some concepts that we've learned. But in the bottom line is you're really here because the experience that Deanna and Monica and Grace and Antonio and Dr. Sugar and all of you that are on the screen has helped create. So as long as we're focusing, we're here to create this experience, that's why we're getting a tribe of people that are really helping us grow. And for those of us who've been around for a while, we're really making it happen right now. These are exciting times to be involved with this organization. Anybody else have something to add before we go into, and this is what got me all excited too, these three questions and then how they've broken down what categories fit inside the three questions. It's a whole new way, at least for me it was, to think about goal setting.
All right, I put the three most important questions in the chat. Question number one, what experiences do you want to have in this lifetime? Question number two, how do you want to grow? And question number three, how do you want to contribute? Okay, that's the three most important questions. As you do the three most important questions exercise later in the chapter, you'll see how the 12 areas of balance that you've been exploring and developing in chapters throughout this book match perfectly with the three most important questions. In fact, I've derived the 12 areas of balance from these questions. The graphic below shows how and where they fit.
Hold on. Now, of course, for those of you who know me, I don't believe in balance. I believe in alignment. I would say the areas of alignment. Because when something's balanced, what's happening? Nothing. It's balanced. So I believe trying to find career and life balance, you're only going to frustrate yourself. Now, find yourself in alignment to the goals that you want to accomplish so that you can get the things you want to get. I think that makes more sense. But you can use the word balance, but I think alignment is a better term and a better word to use. It helps describe what we're trying to accomplish.
Right. Okay. Yes, sir. Now, the graphic did not show up for me, but it is in this book. I'm going to try. Hold on. And take off my virtual background so you can. Okay. There we go. So hopefully you can see this, but they're talking about experiences, growth, and contribution. I'm going to read them. So if you're not able to see, I'm going to read all of the ones in each section. So the 12 areas of balance, this is where they fit in experiences, growth, and contribution. In the experience section, he has your love relationship, your friendships, your adventures, and your environment. Those are in the experiences section. In the growth section, he has your health and fitness, your intellectual life, your skills, and your spiritual life. And in the contribution section, he has your career, your creative life, your family life, and your community life. So, all right, you said let's play out these questions in detail. Yeah.
Hey, Grace.
Yes.
Child, yes, I done went and bought a book, right?
Okay. And
it's just weird because I must have a new edition, like the newest, because those same things, can I read them? Because they were a little bit different.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It says your love relationship, your social mm-hmm. life, your financial mm-hmm. life, your quality of life is your experiences. Then it says your health and fitness, your intellectual life, your emotional life, and your spiritual life is in growth. Then it says your career, your character, your family and parenting life, and then your life vision.
Okay, you must do have an updated version.
Wow.
Okay, you have an updated version.
That was awesome.
Okay.
Well, then as we go through these, why don't you, can you look up to the front and see what it says, see what edition this is?
Yeah, Adrian. Edition and I have.
See what edition you have.
Hold on. I'm wondering if I have the book.
Wait a minute. This says the first paperback edition.
Okay.
Does that say anything?
She could have the hardback edition. Could be a later, earlier edition.
Right, because I have the hardback.
What year? Does it have the year?
That's what I'm looking for, the year. 2016. And that's the book I have.
Adrian, what year do you have?
I'm looking.
If you look in the very first couple of pages, yep. where it's like small handwriting.
Copyright, right?
Yeah.
2019.
So you got good. As we go through this and you have the different version, please feel free to jump in so we can update our information. That's great. Yeah. Or we'll have you read some of them, but that's really cool.
Awesome. Cool.
Okay, Grace, question. What experience do you have in this section asking yourself this question? If.
Yeah. All right. Wait a minute. Here we go. If time and money were no object and I did not have to seek anyone's permission, what kinds of experiences would my soul crave? We.
My Lord.
Okay. We. Come on now. Okay. All right. Y'all always need an icebreaker. I understand. Let me read this one more time. If time and money were no object and I did not have to seek anyone's permission, what kinds of experiences would my soul crave? My goodness.
I'll tell you what I want to experience.
Okay. Go ahead.
Honestly, I would just do whatever I want to do that day. But honestly, I would love to travel. I love language. I love like different languages and cultures and stuff like that. It'll be super fun just to travel with my family all over the world, which is still a plan anyway. That's what's going to happen anyway. But money not an option, travel the world and just help people and enjoy different cultures and stuff like that. Sounds like fun.
Good. Yeah, okay, good stuff.
No bad.
Right. Time and money were no object. Dr. Sugar.
Mine would be travel also, but not so much as just for the language, but just the culture and the foods and how the foods come together and all of the flavors. And, you know, I mean, not just like international going there, but I mean like really deep international, going into the bush areas of the different countries and the villages of the different, were off the beaten track, so to speak. If it was in America, it'd be like traveling and eating at the best greasy spoons, you know, not where everybody else goes, but just to learn more of the foods globally. Because my favorite person that used to travel around all the countries and getting on those boats and being out there with the real people, you know, just that would be one. And then just going to Haiti and building schools, hospitals, and having the land to teach them how to take care of themselves, to get them out of the poverty level that they're in over there. I've been over there like 6-7 times now. And it's like, yeah, I love it over there. I really do love Haiti. So that's what I would do, but more for the food. I learned the language. I'll eat the food.
That's it. Bring back all the spice secrets. That's it. Right. All
Grace,
right.
Go to let's apply this to your first four items.
Gotcha. Okay. So the first one is your love relationship. What does your ideal love relationship look like? Imagine it in all its facets. How you communicate, what you have in common, the activities you do together, what a day in your life together looks like, what holidays are like, what moral and ethical beliefs you share, what type of wild, passionate sex you are having. That's what the book said, okay? That wasn't me. That was Bishop Lagiati, okay? That's what he said.
Yeah, I'm going with yourself now. Go on. This
took the word right out of my mouth.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little passionate sex.
No shame in that.
There you go. Okay, so think about that when you think about your love relationship. If time and money were no object and you didn't have to seek anyone's permission, what would your love relationship look like? Because that, don't fool me now, that plays a role, okay? You may not want it to play a role, but it does, okay? Your friendship, now before I move on, did anybody want to touch number one?
Yeah, mine is serving and giving. And I have to speak of it being a single person. So giving and serving and seeing other people happy. And I serve and give through feeding people, ministering to people, praying with people. So, you know, that portion of it is something that I can relate to as a single person, because there is no one to ask, there is no one to have permission. So I don't know if that question was geared more to couples, but as a single person, I can speak on it. My love language is serving and giving.
Gotcha. All right, that's Sugar. Okay. Oh, Korean, go ahead.
It's funny that Dr. Sugar said that, because for myself, I'm single with no kids and I don't feel the same way. However, well, I should say I didn't feel the same way, but my new self is getting that way, where I don't consider or consult with other people, family, friends, nieces, nephews, feeling like I'm part of the village and I have a responsibility to them or to be available for them, when that's really not the case. And I no longer want that life. So, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to serve me. And if money wasn't an object and I didn't need to pay my bills or take care of myself, I would just do nothing, watch reality TV, go when I wanted to, sleep, take naps, eat anything I wanted to do. And just live that lifestyle that people be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Like, what are they doing? Yeah. That's so lifestyle.
That's it. Okay. That's it. Team no kids. All right. But yes. That is, she hit the nail on the head. As you know, I'm single with no children. No, I don't need any children. No, I don't need to be married. No, I just, I got this. Way to go.
So that takes its purpose into your friendship.
Mm-hmm. the next one. What experiences would you like to share with friends? Who are the friends you'd share these experiences with? What are your ideal friends like? Picture your social life in a perfect world. The people, the places, the conversation, the activities. What does the perfect weekend with your friends look like? Yeah. He wrote this pre-COVID now. This is 2016 and Adrian got the 2019 version. So think pre-COVID, okay? Korea, go ahead.
That is hilarious because my friends are married. They have kids. So what was I thinking? Yeah. So I'm working on that too.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now you're not by yourself. Go ahead. Because a lot of my friends are married too, with kids.
Yeah, married with kids. They're not available. They can't do anything. I mean, it's just like, what was I thinking? Or they only call you when there's a conflict or when they need mommy time or me time. That is such, like, oh my gosh. What is going on? But yeah, that used to be my reality.
But is that something you like to do?
They are not available. So what I did, I'm creating me a network of friends that are available who perhaps are single with no kids or just really have a, not a really a balance, but you know, they enjoy to be social and to get out and to live their life fully. And they don't feel obligated like they can't do anything or that their family and their kids are more of a priority than their life. And I have a few, but you know, it's far in between. So I really would, I desire more and I'm attracting more friends that are single with less kids, with no kids. That way we can actually have our own vibe and travel and experience life as a single person and enjoy it before we're married with kids.
Yeah, because remember what we're saying here, we're going over these so you can set your goals to accomplish that. And that's what we're doing. We're reframing how you were thinking. And now you're
And I'm affirming it. So before I even knew that's what was going to be working out, yeah, I'm just speaking into the atmosphere, affirming it, because you're right on target here.
Right.
I'm already working on it.
Good deal. Good deal.
Okay, thank Grace. You, Mr. Corinne.
Okay.
Before
I keep reading, I know Damali unmuted her mic.
Oh, okay.
I would say for friendships, I would say people that I can talk to about, you know, the good things and the difficulties and get really good sound advice. Friends I can grow with, and friends I can just have fun with and chill and do absolutely nothing with, you know, and yeah.
Sounds good. All right. That crazy friend you got over there in that orange shirt. Okay. I'm gonna keep
praying. Yeah, pretty much a friend like that. That's pretty much what we do. Ashley is my best friend, and here we are in ATS growing together.
No way.
Situation, right?
Yeah.
She's the godmother of my children, and I'm the godmother of her son.
Yeah.
Absolutely best serious? Friend in the whole wide world. Yeah.
Y'all better come on, family. Are you kidding
no
me?
Way?
I would have not put you with, oh my God. Like, it's not like you could put people together, but I would have never. See, Ashley, I knew that something was wrong with you. I knew it was something.
We're both total opposites.
Yeah, I like that though.
Complete opposites. She's the artsy, creative person. I'm the engineer.
Molly looked like she's a cool,
structured person, laid back
person.
I met her, I was like, oh my God, that's just
firecracker.
She was like, I was like, oh.
Yes, yes, yeah. Ashley is not laid back. Why she looking like, what do you mean? No, Ashley, you are not laid back. No, yeah.
But she might be. Right. So we're best friends.
That's cool. Yes. Love it. Yeah, night and day. But that's all, it always works out like that. Your friends, y'all are opposites of each other. Now you're probably the same, but you're opposite at the same time. It works like that. All right, look at me and Dee Marie. Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. Deanna is my best friend. Deanna loves to think and has ideas all day long. Tell me what to do. What do you think we should do? I don't know, Deanna. What do you think we should do? And tell me so I can go do it. That is me and Deanna all day long. I can't. it is what it is. Okay.
I'm the you in the relationship, Grace.
But that's what Phil was saying, right? He doesn't say balance. He says that there has to be right. So we, in actuality, we're yin and yanging. completing
alignment.
If that makes sense, like
alignment. That's it.
Alignment, right?
Which then leads us to adventures.
Yes,
right. Okay.
Your adventures. Spend a few minutes thinking about people who've had what you consider to be amazing adventures. What did they do? Where did they go? How do you define adventure? What places have you always wanted to see? What adventurous things have you always wanted to do? What kinds of adventures would make your soul sing? Okay. So if I need to ask those questions again, I can put them in the chat, you know? Adventures. If time and money were no object and you didn't have to seek anyone's permission, spend a few minutes thinking about people who've had what you consider to be amazing adventures and think about, you know, what adventure is to you and what would you do?
Yeah, and I think the purpose of this is to think about the different categories in which we can set goals. Because usually when I do, and we in our Kenoching, we have a whole goal setting process. But I'm going to take this information and add it to it because it's going to expand it exponentially, because I'm going to say, great, you had the goals over here, but there's nothing here about adventure. It would help me focus on helping my clients expand their horizons on what goals they're looking for. So number four, environment.
All right.
Susan, was there a knock on the door? Sorry.
No worries. In this amazing life of yours, what would your home look like? What would it feel like to come back to this place? Describe your favorite room. What would be in this wonderful space? What would be the most heavenly bed you can imagine sleeping in? What kind of car would you drive if you could have any car you wanted? Now imagine the perfect workspace. Describe where you could do your best work. When you go out, what kinds of restaurants and hotels would you love to visit? All about your environment. Right.
So those are subsets of answers to the first question.
Can we just quickly know what the ones that were added from Miss Adrienne's new edition real quick?
Oh yeah.
Just say those real quick.
There were two added in that first section, Adrienne. In your experience section, Adrienne, because I think your love relationship was the same and something else was the same. I just can't remember what it was.
Right. I think my experience, the experiences is they have it in here is your social life. But okay. It says, but what experiences would you like to share with a friend? Who are the friends you'd share your experiences with? What are your ideal friends like? Picture your social life in a perfect world. The people, the places, the conversations, the activities. What does the perfect weekend with your friends look like?
Okay, so they just changed the category from your friendship
right. Friends to your social life. Okay. Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Which one was it? There's no financial life in there.
Okay, yeah, says, read that one.
This says, what experiences would you like to be able to afford? Moving to an exotic new city for a month? Traveling the world, owning a gorgeous apartment in London, being able to take time off to pursue a passion project.
Now, is that number three or number four?
That's number three.
They put they're taking your adventures and they're calling it your financial life.
Oh, that was the adventure.
Okay, yes, it is. Now, did you have environment for number four, Adrienne?
And then that one's your quality of life. In this amazing life of yours, what would your home look like? What would you feel like coming back to this place? Describe your favorite room. What would it be in this wonderful space?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was the same thing because I was reading.
But they just take an environment, but quality of life. But again, I think that's a better term. They've upgraded it. Very good.
Okay.
Okay, good. Question number two.
How do you want to grow? Okay. So it says, when you watch how young children soak up information, you realize how deeply wired we are to learn and grow. Personal growth can and should happen throughout life, not just when we're children. In this section, you're essentially asking yourself, In order to have the experiences above, how do I have to grow? What sort of man or woman do I need to evolve into? Oh, wow. Just notice how this question ties to the previous one. Now consider these four categories from the 12 areas of balance. So, your health and fitness. Describe how you want to feel and look every day. That first statement alone. All right, what about 5, 10, or 20 years from now? Okay, what eating and fitness systems would you like to have? What health or fitness systems would you like to explore? Not because you think you ought to, but because you're curious and want to. Are there fitness goals you'd like to achieve purely for the thrill of knowing you accomplished them? Whether it's hiking a mountain, learning to tap dance, or getting in a routine of going to the gym. So your health and fitness, what does that look like, okay? Describe how you want to feel and look every day. Okay.
Adrian, is yours the same? What's your number five?
It's the same, your health and fitness.
All right. Ready.
Okay. So the next one, okay. Look,
any feedback and any feedback okay. on health and fitness?
Because nobody's touching the health and fitness.
I was say we didn't want to even.
I can. I know exactly what I want. I want to run. I want to be able to run 3 miles.
Okay.
I want to wear a size 12 or less. I want a six pack, and I found an ideal kind of body shape that I kind of like, that I kind of I project and I look at when I'm making choices. It helps me to make that right choice when I look at that six pack in front of me.
Okay. Yeah. All right, down the bottom.
Yeah, whenever I hear people say they want a six pack, I said, yeah, but you got a keg.
Lord. It's Bill. All right. Okay. Anyone else? We'll keep going. All right. So, did anybody unmute? Okay. The next section is your intellectual life. And then I'll ask, did Adrian? She'll come back. So when she comes back, I'll ask Adrian.
I just say make sure I can fit in my pants, you know, that I fit in now or before. Uh-huh. And I don't have to go find them fat pants. I threw them away.
All right now. Hey, that is a good, okay. Come on, Ashley. The next one is your intellectual life.
It just occurs to me, my goal is that I want to finally get off eating sugar, but like not sugar from fruits, but sugar from refined stuff, refined carbs and sweets and chocolates and ice creams. Get off sugar, that's my thing. Okay, I'm done.
Because that's hard. That is hard right there. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm sipping on a Coke right now. I'm going to tell y'all, I don't care. I'm sipping on a Coke right now. But Dawood, what he said, yes, I would love to do that. I've done it before. I have gone without Coke for 30 days. It was a little rough at the beginning.
It's rough.
But then I was like, okay, it is.
It's rough. Yeah. Everything has sugar in it. I've got a little fat man inside of me. Don't be mistaken.
That's called discipline and willpower. Because if Dawood looks like that, if he said he got a fat man on the inside, hey, okay, there is hope. All right, now, your intellectual life. What do you need to learn in order to have the experiences you listed above? What would you love to learn? What books and movies would stretch your mind and taste? What kinds of art, music, or theater would you look to know more about? Are there languages you want to master? I know Ashley does, she said it earlier. Remember to focus on end goals, choosing learning opportunities where the joy is in the learning itself, and the learning is not merely a means to an end, such as a diploma, okay? So that's the intellectual life. Adrian, did you have anything different in that section?
I want to say they only added one sentence in there. It says, what kind of art, music, and theater would you like to know more about, and what are the languages you want to master, and what skills do you need to develop to make your career thrive?
Okay, all right.
And then remember, yeah.
Okay, all right.
No, that was just
what do you have for 7, Adrian?
Your emotional life.
So they've taken skills, brought it up to an intellectual life, and then they've added your number 7 is your emotional life.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I love this stuff.
In the book we have is your skills. Go ahead, Adrian. You can read that section.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, I'm placing the category of emotional life here for simplicity, but your goals for your emotional life can also fit under the experience category. When you think about goals for emotions, you're thinking about how you want to feel on a persistent basis. Most humble, most blissed out, happier, and more positive. Perhaps becoming a person who uplifts and lights up the lives of others. Write down your end goals here.
So they've just completely changed the whole number 7.
Yes, they did.
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah, the emotional life is good. Okay, so it's basically talking about how do you want to feel all the time. So that's good. All right. And then,
feelings, nothing more than feelings. By the way, when Deanna earlier talked about people that sung, she didn't mention me. I just noticed that at our Monday morning meeting.
I'm going to let her know, Mr. Phil.
Yeah, let her know. Yeah, put me in that bucket.
That's it.
You need some baritone and bass. You need some baritone and bass in there.
You do.
I missed something. We having a choir. Y'all putting together a choir? I want to have a voice.
Oh, you were listed. You were listed.
Yeah, you were listed. Yeah.
Oh, amen. Deanna was
mentioning the people that can sing. You know, when everybody, when certain of you all sing happy birthday to people that have birthdays. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Phil felt left out because he was like, "Hey, I got some pipes." You know.
Okay, number 8.
Your spiritual life. Where are you now spiritually, and where would you like to be? Would you like to move deeper into the spiritual practice you already have or try out others? What is your highest aspiration for your spiritual practice? Would you like to learn things like lucid dreaming, deep states of meditation, or ways to overcome fear, worry, or stress? That's a good one. So you think about where you are now spiritually and where you would like to be, or are you already where you want to be spiritually? So that's some good things to think about. Anybody
Adrian,
know what lucid
same
dreaming
thing?
Is?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I was wondering if anybody knew what lucid dreaming was. I'd never heard of that until I read this right here.
Well, I was going to take a stab because I was thinking lucid dreaming. Is it like daydreaming? But like you have, because the word lucid is almost like they're out of this world types of dreams, right? Like lucid.
Mm-hmm.
I got Siri's answer.
Go on, tell me what she said now.
Where one is aware that they are dreaming. A lucid dream is the type of dream where the dreamer becomes aware that they are dreaming.
When it's so real.
Daydreaming. Oh. Be bougie, right? You just think it in your brain and you know damn well you shouldn't be thinking it. Yeah. Lucid dreaming. I like that.
Now, is the spiritual life still the same? Hey, lucid girl, is the spiritual life still the same?
Yes, it is. Every single right. Lucid and all. Every
lucid and all.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Oh, question goodness. 3.
Okay. Here we go. How do you want to contribute? In keeping with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama's message, as I mentioned earlier, if you want to be happy, make other people happy. This question explores how all of your unique experiences and growth can help you contribute to the world. It doesn't have to be a big dramatic gesture. Perhaps it's inviting the new neighbors over for a cookout or taking the new hire out for lunch, playing the piano at a nursing home, helping rescued animals get adopted, or spearheading a clothing drive at work. In this section, you're essentially asking yourself, if I have the experiences above and have grown in these remarkable ways, then how can I give back to the world? Again, notice how this question connects to the previous two. Imagine what you can give in these areas of the 12 areas of balance. Number 9, your career. What are your visions for your career? What level of confidence do you want to achieve and why? How would you like to improve your workplace or company? What contribution to your field would you like to make? If your career does not currently seem to contribute anything meaningful to the world, take a closer look. Is that because the work is truly meaningless, or does it just not have meaning to you? What career would you like to get into? Right. Adrian, you had the same thing with your career? Okay. Anybody want to talk about that? You have anything right there? Because I know y'all be like, oh, ATS, we straight. You could have that, you know, mindset. Or you could have something else of what you
That's
like.
That's my answer, do. Grace.
Okay. All right, here we go. Number 10, your creative life. What creative activities do you love to do, or what would you like to learn? It could be anything from cooking to singing to photography, my own passion, to that's the author's passion, not mine, to painting, to writing poetry, to developing software. What are some ways you can share your creative self with the world? Okay, what are some ways you can share your creative self with the world? I know a lot of y'all on this call are creative. Dr. Sugar, anybody that can come up that can create spices, we have got to be creative. I wouldn't even know where to start, okay? And it tastes really good. You know, if y'all don't have sugar spices, y'all go make that investment. Go ahead, Dr. Sugar.
It's been something that's always in our family, which has been cooking. And I don't like bland or boring food. So I've always experimented. A lot of stuff gets thrown away. A lot of it goes in the trash. A lot of it, they'll say, file that in file 13 or go back to the drawing board or this. No, not this one. Sugar, put that one in the trash, you know. But I've always mixed different textures together, but different seasonings together to just see what it can come up to being. And a lot of it is good, but there's been quite a bit that's been thrown in the garbage, but it doesn't stop me. It keeps me going. But see, I've always liked chemistry and biology and dissecting. And, you know, I'm a funeral home director. I'm an embalmer. You know, I've always liked that sort of stuff. So it's always been kind of interesting me to take this and put it together. And it changes what the food is that I'm eating, the flavor of the food that I'm eating. So I've always liked that. I added cheese. I hope Christina's on, but I added some shredded cheddar cheese to that peach cobbler she made. Oh, that put a happy, happy, happy tummy. I had a happy tummy with that cheddar cheese.
So you and Adrian are embalmers. So we got two embalmers on the call.
All right.
But what about the cheese though?
Easy embalmer. I'm just going to hold your hand and sing for you.
Okay.
It's going to make you good. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to hold your family's hand and I'm going to sing your song.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were embalmed too. Yeah. Is a creative, Adrian, is the creative life the same?
Actually, no, it's not. Number 10 on this one is your character.
Okay. It's this. Ooh,
what traits and values do you want to embody? Bravery, honesty. Perhaps you want to be a person who takes a stand for issues that matter to you in the world. That's what it said.
I like
that. That's what it said. They added some good stuff in here.
Yeah. But it's a shame they should take it. They took away creative life because I thought that was really good too.
It is good.
I think right, the one you just read. That's what I said. Yeah. That's not in here.
Yeah.
That's in here. You need that. That's all your creative.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. All right.
I think they go hand in hand, though.
They do, yeah. Because, yeah.
Truth be told, you really can't do one without touching the other. And if you want to touch it, you might as well embrace it. And if you embrace it, then you'll find yourself not only just fixing the character, you'll find that you are having that creative life that you want, you're seeking. Because, like for me, to make sure that I speak out about abuse. My daughter that y'all saw today that came on last week, and she spoke a lot more today. She is a product of the abuse that I suffered while I was pregnant with her. So that's something that touches that character. And it breaks it before it can even get started. So when you're fighting for something that you want to stop, you have to find what type of character you are producing or what type of character you want to be. So I think both of those go hand in hand. I don't think it's lost. I think
great it's point. Lost. Great point. Really good. All right. Yeah. All right. Number 11.
Okay. Before we get to the family life, I'm saying this in the chat. You know, we're going to go back a little bit to this cheese on the peach tower. My pastor puts cheese on apple pie. I saw Damali said people do put cheese on. Because when he did that, I was like, I've never seen that before. But if it tastes good to you, okay. Cheese on pie.
It's the combination of the cheddar and the cinnamon.
Oh.
And the allspice and the nutmeg. It's that combination that goes just, it marries together just wonderfully. And for those that can't or the vegan, they do have some cheese substitutes, which I have because I have a niece that's vegan. And so I tried that on just a little piece of it. I didn't try to melt it, but I tried it because the peach cobbler was hot and that did taste very good.
Yeah, but no. So I grew up on apple pie and I was very shocked when somebody put a piece of cheese on apple pie, but I tried it and it was actually pretty good. So
that was, that with a was that with a scoop of ice cream on top of the cheese on top of the apple pie?
I don't like ice cream at all. So I did it. But the person who did the cheese did it with the ice cream too. Yes.
I said this before on a call, but do you know how cheese got its name, right? They used to put milk in goat skin. And then they put it on the camel and they'd ride across the desert and they're going up and down and up and down and up and down. And then at the end of the ride, they'd open up the goat shit and go, "Chief." That's how she's got it.
Hey, Phil.
Phil. That's funny.
Don't get him, Susan. Don't get him, Susan. It's okay.
Everyone always put cheese on his pie too.
Who?
My dad, you know.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's down south thing. Got to be that. That's yeah, got to be.
Was from Kentucky, so.
I'm from Minnesota. No, it's not a.
Not so that. That's not a south thing. That's a middle of the world thing. Is that what that is?
It's a what you like thing, you know.
That's your thing.
But you know what? I wouldn't say anything because when you, okay, Sugar, I'm be honest. You said that when they are married, they are married together and they are nice. What I would say is I love receptions and I would probably show up. So if it's there and it's made and I say, oh, let me taste it. But what I say, this needs some cheese.
But I would try it. I would definitely.
That's mad funny. I'm like, dude, I got a little fat on it. And we
We are not.
It has to be a circumstance. Listen, that's what I said. I'll be at the reception when the marriage is
about it. I don't like just like the slice of cheese. You know, it has to be melted. I'm just not going to take a cold piece of cheese and put it on my hot apple pie.
Yes.
No, I want the cheese to be heated and melted together. But the shredded cheese gives it even a more punch to the flavor than just that piece of slight American cheese or Velveeta cheese, just the shredded.
What about nacho cheese?
That's a TikTok. I'm going to do that on TikTok. No.
Grace, I think we've lost control.
Yeah. It's all right.
What's this got to do with goal setting?
We were contributing our part. We were putting our part into what we were doing today. So that was all of our contributions together.
Jeez.
There's a whole book on who stole my cheese.
Yeah. And you know, that's the brilliance of that book, you know, the brilliance of that book, they didn't buy that book so that you would go to the bookstore and buy that one copy. They bought that book so companies would buy cases, send them out to their employees just before they moved their cheese.
Wow.
that's the brilliance behind that book. Companies sold cases and gave it to their employees. And then now we're going to have a meeting after you read this book because we're moving your cheese. We thought you'd give you a heads up. So, okay, number 11, your family life.
Okay, picture yourself being with your family, not as you think you should be, but in ways that fill you with happiness. What are you doing and saying? What wonderful experiences are you having together? What values do you want to embody and pass along? What can you contribute to your family that is unique to you. Keep in mind that your family doesn't have to be a traditional family. Ideas along those lines are often rules. Family may be cohabiting partners, a same-sex partner, a marriage where you decided not to have children, or a single life where you consider a few close friends as family. Don't fall into society's definition of family. Instead, create a new model of reality and think of family as those whom you truly love and want to spend time with. That is good.
It's the family of man. It's the family of man. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? You all are. Right. Adrian, same thing or any difference?
Oh, okay. She said the same thing. Okay. All right. Number 12, move on. Nobody had anything. Okay. Number 12 is your community life. This could be your friends, your neighborhood, your city, state, nation, religious community, or the world community. How would you like to contribute to your community? Looking at all of your abilities, all of your ideas, all of the unique experiences you've had that make you the person you are, what is the mark you want to leave on the world that excites and deeply satisfies you? For me, it's reforming global education for our children. What is it for you? Okay. Adrian, did you have your community life or was it something different?
It's just called the title, it's called Your Life Vision. And then it just asks the question, how would you like to contribute? And then this would be your friends. I think it was all of the same. It might have been one. Looking at all your abilities and all your ideas. Did you say that? I think that's
yeah,
the part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then that's okay. The same thing. It was just your life vision.
Life vision. Okay. So you changed it from community life to life vision. That's good. All right.
We like to keep these to about an hour, and we're at that time point. Next week, we'll cover Create a Vision for Your Future. Extraordinary minds create a vision for their future that is decidedly their own and free of expectations of, again, it's gone, the Sioux culturescape. Their vision is focused on end goals that can strike a direct chord with their happiness.
Okay. All right. Well, it has been a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me ask you a question. Did you get why I was so excited when I saw this, how this is just a completely different way to look at goal setting?
It really does, yes. It means goals and ends goals. I learned something, like for real. I really did learn something with the means goals and the ends goal and the end goals. So that was really good.
I just want to say I love you guys, and I'm so glad that I got the book because I just can't wait now, because this chapter 9, to be unfuckable, I like this. It says unfuckwithable. Come on. That's now.
We covered that last week.
Right. And then Antonio is gonna cover that chapter 9 again for 2 more weeks.
Okay, good.
Deacon Sorrentino and I were on. Yeah, no. Deacon Sorrentino and I were on for the first 2 weeks. And now for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Pastor would be back in town. Yeah. Pastor would be back in town and covering chapter 9 for another 2 weeks. He said,
you might want to mention him if he wants to start with Law 8, because that's where we ended. He could have that option.
Okay. I'll let him know. I will definitely let him know. And again, it's been a pleasure. We love you too, Adrian. It's been a pleasure this evening. Glad to have y'all. Come join us again, same bat time, same bat channel on next Thursday. And again, join us tomorrow for the daily meeting on Friday. And there is a business training for those who qualify to get on for that training at 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. All right, ladies and gent, have a great evening. You can plant better. You can dominate. Take care.
Awesome. Love y'all.
Love you. Love you more.
Love you more.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.